vacation is supposed to be, I guess. But I guess I was the working one on the vacation. You might pray for missionary that chapter 1. Reading from verse 16. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. Today, we're going to look at two lines, one this morning and one this evening, in Peter's description of the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Luke chapter 9. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. There are three records of the, or records, of the Mount of Transfiguration, and I want to read a portion of the account from Luke chapter 9. Reading from verse 18. "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying with his disciples who were with him, and he asked them, saying, Who say the people that I am? Then answered, they answered and said, John the Baptist, and some said Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he strictly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. Verse 27, And I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a high mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, or his exodus, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen." So we pray together. Our Father and our God, we come with thanksgiving this morning for your sending to us the Lord Jesus Christ as our priest. We thank you for the sacrifice that he offered, for the adequacy of that sacrifice, for the sufficiency of his work. And we this morning have a message to declare to the world of salvation for any who will believe. We acknowledge our need of your wisdom this morning because of our ignorance. We realize our need of your strength because of our weakness. And we thank you for blessing your word and blessing us as we meet to hear and understand it. Thank you for meeting with us through Jesus Christ our Lord. in whose name we give thanks. Amen. The transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most significant events in the human life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gathering of personages on the Mount of Transfiguration is unique to biblical literature. No other occasion do we have in the scriptures where God spoke, man listened, and the souls of just men made perfect were there as well, in the presence of the Son of God. And so as we look at this event, I want to ask the question again this morning, what does it mean? Can we say that the Lord Jesus chose Peter, James, and John and brought them up to the mountain to see and to hear what they saw and heard? Can I say just to encourage them? Remember, Peter had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ's announcement that he was going to be handed over to the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter responded by saying, "It will never happen to you." And the Lord's strongest rebuke came on that occasion. "Get thee behind me, Satan." And here we are reminded again that the Lord Jesus chose this occasion for a very specific reason. And I want to address two of those reasons this morning and again this evening. We remember that six silent days took place between the Lord's twofold announcement. He responded by saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and said, "You do not understand the things that regard God, but the things that regard man." When the Lord Jesus said he was going to be handed over to the chief priests and scribes and be killed, Peter didn't understand it. But then the Lord Jesus went on to say, "There be some standing here who will not taste of death until they have seen the kingdom come in power." Two announcements, one of suffering and one of glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ then waited 6 days so that those two ideas would go over in the mind of the disciples before he took Peter, James, and John. And so the two announcements of suffering and glory must have permeated the thinking of these disciples. I suggest to you this morning that there was a very significant reason why the Lord Jesus and the disciples, God the Father, and Moses and Elijah met on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was a transaction between God the Father and His Son. It was an important transaction that moved the Lord Jesus forward to the cross. And it's that point we want to understand. Peter said in verse 17, "He, Christ, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory." We know what he received. He received honor and glory. The question we want to ask is, why did he receive honor and glory? And what is the priestly significance of the Lord Jesus Christ receiving from God the Father honor and glory when that voice spoke saying, "This is my beloved Son"? Can we understand this morning the act that God the Father performed on His Son, Jesus Christ, on the Mount of Transfiguration? You understand already that it demands our thinking caps, as one of my teachers told me. We know what He received, but the question is why and for what? First of all, then, an assessment of His position. The scripture reflects three primary offices the Lord Jesus Christ possessed: prophet, priest, and king. priest, and king. These three offices are significant in their purpose, in their service, and in their sequence. First of all, the prophet who would preach. The first ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels was that of a prophet. He began to preach, and his preaching and his ministry was prophetic in nature. We realize as we read Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses said that God is going to raise a prophet like unto me. That prophet, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, it says Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. The ministry continued from Matthew chapter 4 up until Matthew chapter 16, if we're reading in Matthew. Because in Matthew chapter 16, it says the Lord Jesus began to tell his disciples that he's going to be handed over to the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So the prophetic ministry of Christ began shortly after his baptism and continued until this announcement in Matthew chapter 16 and in Luke chapter 9, which we read. We also realize in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 that the author of Hebrews says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Two official designations for the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle and the high priest. So there was a fact that he as the prophet would preach the message. Then we find him as the priest who would propitiate. He would offer a sacrifice. And so we realize that Christ came to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. You know, and I know, and it's not hard to follow, that the Lord Jesus Christ came as a priest. You'll find it more difficult to follow that this evening. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35, there is a prophecy that says, I will raise up a faithful priest who will walk before mine anointed, and Israel will listen to him. It is a reference to the Lord Jesus as a priest. And so the Lord Jesus came as a priest. For what? Well, early in his life, in fact, before that, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, he began to tell them that he's going to die. So the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ is also a significant message in the Gospels. The Lord Jesus Christ came to be a priest. No, he came to be the priest. Israel had priests that were after the tribe of Levi, but because the Lord Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, he could not serve, as Hebrews says, as a priest. So he served as priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so the transaction at the transfiguration established the Lord Jesus Christ as the priest who was going to offer a sacrifice which would propitiate the sins of the people. Thirdly, he is the king who will reign. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says, but you, Bethlehem, and it goes on to describe that out of Bethlehem would come the ruler who would rule, the governor who would rule over my people Israel. And in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, the question is, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And in chapter 27 of Matthew and verse 37, it says, over the cross of the Lord Jesus, the king of the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 33, we are reminded that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. So you see that woven throughout the Gospels is a threefold ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophet, priest, and king. It is those three primary offices that are explained and that are woven through the fabric of the Gospels. As prophet, or shall we say apostle, as Hebrews uses that word, he served in his life. As priest, he offered his sacrifice in his death. And as king, he will rule in righteousness because of his resurrection. So the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ comes under those three heads, prophet, priest, and king. The Mount of Transfiguration is significant then in relationship to these official offices the Lord Jesus Christ possesses because of who he is. So the assessment of his positions lays the groundwork for our study this morning. Roman numeral number 2, there is the announcement of Peter, verse 17. The apostle Peter writes in his epistle, which we are studying, he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came that voice from the excellent glory. My consideration this morning is, what does it mean? What is the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration receiving honor and glory? And how does that relate to the ministry of the Lord Jesus? And if we had time, how does it relate to the details that he describes in 2 Peter? Only Peter tells us what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. There is no other thought from James or John. The Lord Jesus doesn't expound what took place. We are left to search the scripture and to find the key to unlocking this amazing statement that on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus received honor and glory. So look at Peter's announcement. It was an announcement regarding the transfiguration. The discussion of his exodus, that is the exodus of the Lord Jesus Christ between Moses and Elijah, was finished and was complete when the Father spoke and said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him." And Peter is reminding us that this announcement is significant because in that announcement, the Lord Jesus received honor and glory from the Father. In Matthew chapter 17, in verse 2, it says, the Lord Jesus received this statement, but he was transfigured before the disciples. I hope that last week's study helped to set the stage for our consideration this morning. Now we must realize that the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ never entered the mind of Peter. Peter didn't understand the cross. He had rejected the cross. He saw only the throne, only the crown, only the kingdom, as we'll find out this evening. And so the priesthood never entered his mind. Now you and I see it. We see it clearly. Because as we look at the Gospels, we see the cross. As we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we primarily see the sacrifice. I'm going to try and make it hard for you to see that tonight. Because the setting for this, as we look at Peter's statement, is in fact the priesthood of Christ. But in Peter's mind on this occasion, it was the throne and the kingdom that was in Peter's mind. And so the transfiguration was for Peter a very important element of his growth and his understanding regarding the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was in the Mount of Transfiguration a transition of ministry. Christ had fulfilled the prophetic office. It began at his baptism, when again the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he had fulfilled that prophetic ministry to the nation of Israel. He came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near." As a prophet, he offered the kingdom. Israel understood that. The disciples understood that. Even the scribes and Pharisees understood that when Jesus Christ came, he came in order that he might be their king. Peter understood that loud and clear. So that when his mind was absorbed with the kingship, with the throne, and the Lord Jesus said, "I'm going to die," it brought total confusion to Peter's mind. Early in John chapter 5 and verse 16, the scribes and Pharisees wanted to kill Christ. They did not and could not accept the Lord Jesus as the king. He had provided a prophetic ministry, but they said no to Christ. God, of course, knew this. The Lord Jesus understood this, but they rejected him. And because they rejected his priestly ministry, his prophetic ministry, on this occasion, he begins his priestly ministry. The Lord Jesus was making a transition, a shift in ministry from a prophetic ministry to a priestly ministry. The Messiah must die for the sins of the people. And you and I know that. We're not blinded to that truth because we extract, "He shall save his people from their sins." And they say, "There it is." But they didn't understand that. Thirdly, not only is the transfiguration of Christ announced, not only is there a transition of ministry, there is also a transaction for service. A priest must be called of God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4. No man takes his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. A prophet can't say, "Well, you know, I've been a prophet long enough, now I'm going to be a priest." It could never happen in the Jewish economy. A man who was called a prophet was to be a prophet, but a man was separately called in order to be a priest. And so on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a transaction for service. The Lord Jesus, as it were, put down his prophetic tools and took upon himself, or was given on this occasion, the tools necessary to be a priest. No, to be the priest. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God designated his Son as the priest who would offer a sacrifice which would take away the sins of the people. On this particular occasion, God called Christ to the office of priest as high priest after the order of Aaron, only that he offered a sacrifice. But he could never be a priest after the order of Aaron, because he was of the tribe of Judah and not of the tribe of Levi. Every priest in the nation of Israel had an official installation service. This was the official installation service for the Lord Jesus Christ to be the priest who would offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Peter announced a transfiguration. Peter announced a transition in ministry. Peter announced a transaction for service, and Peter announced a transfer of qualifications. every piece, at his official installation, received from the high priest or from the previous priest a special introduction in a glorious service that prepared him and also readied him for that responsibility as high priest. What are the qualifications that this man needs to serve as priest of God? Peter answers the question. The qualifications that are necessary for the Lord Jesus to go to the cross and bear your sins and mine is honor and glory. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus Christ lay aside his prophetic garments and received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son." What are the qualifications? This man, yes, this God-man. What qualifications were necessary for this man to offer a sacrifice sufficient for your sins and mine? On the Mount of Transfiguration, God invested his Son with the garments of glory and honor because he recognized his readiness to go to the cross. On this particular occasion, God spoke from heaven and invested his Son with the honor and glory so that he, as no one else, could go to the cross and offer himself as a sacrifice. And so we ask the question again, what is the honor and glory he received from the Father which qualified him to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world? Thirdly, we must then understand the appointment of God. Where shall we find any answer to our question? Our question is, what is the honor and glory he received on the Mount of Transfiguration that qualified him to be the priest for your sins? Only the book of Hebrews addresses that subject. And the book of Hebrews takes chapters to expound to us the answer to our question. You remember we looked at Hebrews chapter 3. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Those two designations are necessary for us to understand what Peter is saying in chapter 1. What are the two designations? Consider the apostle and high priest. The apostle is a person who brings the message from God and delivers it to men. The high priest is the person who takes man and offers him to God. And in the case of Hebrews chapter 3, we have a reference, first of all, to the apostle. Who is he? It's Moses. And we are told that Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. And we are reminded that a greater than Moses is here. A greater than Moses is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses had a special responsibility to be the apostle or prophet for 2.5 million people, the children of Israel, as they moved from Egypt to Canaan. But a greater than Moses is on the Mount of Transfiguration. And what is the other designation? The apostle or prophet and high priest. If the apostle and prophet is a reference to Moses, the high priest is a reference to Aaron. Aaron was the high priest, but he was only the high priest for 2.5 million people. A greater than Aaron is here. And we are reminded to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. God appointed Christ as the priest who would offer a sacrifice for the sins, not of Israel, but for the sins of the world. A greater than Moses is on Mount of Transfiguration, and a greater than Aaron is also on the Mount of Transfiguration. Christ was going to be a faithful priest for the world. He couldn't serve Israel because of his tribe. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, God invested his son with the glory and honor in order that he might provide a sacrifice for the sins of the world. On the Mount of Transfiguration, then, we see this appointment. Fourthly, the accompaniment of this possession, this position. What goes along with this position that God is giving to his son, Jesus Christ? Peter says, honor and glory. He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved son. But we must again ask, what is this honor and glory? The answer is given to us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. And that verse says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, listen carefully, crowned with glory and honor. Crowned with glory and honor, that, in order that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. It's interesting, they're exactly the same two words. In Hebrews chapter 2, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have exactly the same two words. Crowned with glory and honor, in Hebrews chapter 2, he received from the Father honor and glory, the same two words. What does that mean? Well, the book of Hebrews explains it to us. If we understand this appointment, as Hebrews chapter 2 in his summary of the preparation of the Lord Jesus Christ in order that he might taste death for every man, we put the two together and they dovetail perfectly. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus Christ was crowned with glory and honor when the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, Hebrews confirms that God invested his son with honor and glory in front of Peter, James, and John, and Moses, and Elijah. What does it mean? It means this. If we look at the life and ministry of Moses in the book of Hebrews, we realize that God designated Moses with a glory which was unique. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, this man, that is Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house. Moses had a glory that he, being the prophet for the nation of Israel, he could communicate the message of God, but a greater than Moses is here. This man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. The Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration was crowned with the glory of a Moses, but a much greater man than Moses is there. And the word honor is used in reference to Aaron. If we look at the honor that belongs to an Aaron in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, we are reminded again that he, by the grace of God, in verse 2, should taste death for every man. What did Aaron have? Aaron had an honor. What is the honor? No man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Who was called of God? Christ. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ was called of God, as was Aaron, in order that he might fulfill the position of priest and offer a sacrifice that was adequate, not just for Israel, but that he might taste death for every man. Why wasn't Aaron there on the Mount of Transfiguration? The answer to that is that God wanted to incorporate in one man both the position of prophet and the position of priest. You remember? God called Moses, who was of the tribe of Levi, and Moses said, I can't talk. But God wanted one man to be the apostle and high priest of Israel. And Moses said no. And so the position was divided into Moses and Aaron. God intended that Moses should serve in both of those capacities as a beautiful and almost perfect type of the apostle and high priest of our confession. Fifthly, there is the arrangement of a picture. Do we have any reflection of this wonderful transaction which took place on the Mount of Transfiguration? Do we have any reflection of this in the Old Testament? Consider the details that God gives us in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, there is a detailed description of the garments of the high priest. And in Exodus chapter 28, it says, you will make garments for Aaron your brother, Aaron the priest, garments of glory and beauty. And then he goes to describe, and he describes the mitre that goes on the head, the robe, the turban, the coat, the breastplate, the ephod, and all that's involved in the garments of glory and beauty. Do you know what? They're the same words found in Hebrews chapter 2. They are the same words found in 1 Peter chapter 1. They are garments of glory and honor. When the high priest took that responsibility to offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people, he received the garments of glory and honor. In order that he might recognize that he stood alone in Israel to offer a sacrifice for the sins of his people. And so the dress of the high priest, described in detail in Exodus chapter 28, is exactly and spiritually portrayed for us on the Mount of Transfiguration. It is significant. And it is a reminder to us that the Lord Jesus, having finished his prophetic ministry, stood in the presence of his Father with Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John. And in that moment, the priestly or the sacerdotal splendor of the high priest was, in a spiritual sense, placed on him. His face was at last as the sun. His garments were white and shining. It was a display of the honor and glory that belongs to the high priest. What an amazing event. And so the dress of the high priest describes it for us. But now, what about the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16? Here is the high priest dressed in his garments of glory, gold and silver, of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen and pomegranates and all of the splendor. And now the Day of Atonement has come. And what does the priest do before he goes in to offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people? He takes off his garments of glory and beauty, and he puts on the linen, common white garments of the priest. And on the Day of Atonement, he would not enter into the holiest of all with the blood of the goat. In garments of glory and beauty, he would enter into the holiest of all with the blood of the goat, with the linen garments. He had taken off the garments of glory and honor. What is God saying to us and to his Son? He designates him on the Mount of Transfiguration as the priest. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came down from the mount, he had laid aside the garments of glory and beauty because he was going to the cross. He was on the way to offer himself. But in the presence of the disciples, in the presence of Moses and Elijah, he had those garments given to him in a spiritual sense, and all of them could respond by saying, he is the priest. He has served as the apostle. He has served as the prophet. But now, he is the priest. And just as he was introduced into his prophetic ministry by heaven being opened and God saying at his baptism, this is my beloved Son now, as he enters into the priestly ministry and receives from his Father, God the Father, the garments of glory and beauty, again heaven opens and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. His entrance into the prophetic ministry was with the announcement of his Father. His entrance into the priestly ministry was with the announcement of God the Father, this is my beloved Son. But could he go to the cross with that display of glory? Of course not. And so, as he came down, he took off the garments of glory and honor and went to the cross with garments, white linen garments, in order that he might die for you and die for me. And what happened after that? He said, arise. Peter said, no, let's stay here. Let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let's build it. No, says the Lord Jesus, I have been invested as a priest, and we're going to the cross. And on that occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledged before time and eternity, before those from heaven and those from earth, that he had been called a priest in order that he might offer a sacrifice. And he made his way to the cross. His sacrifice was an offering in harmony with God himself. His substitution was in harmony with all of the Old Testament sacrifices. His sufficiency was an offering that was adequate. He could taste death in order that he might taste death for every man. And was God satisfied? Of course. Do you realize that on the Mount of Transfiguration, God signaled heaven and earth for time and eternity his overwhelming satisfaction with his Son? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And God set Christ free to go to the cross, to die for your sins and mine. And then in that garden tomb, God signaled earth and heaven again for time and eternity his overwhelming satisfaction with the sacrifice of his beloved Son and set him free from death and raised him from the grave. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God said yes. Peter said no. On the Mount of Transfiguration, The Lord Jesus Christ said yes. Peter said no. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God and Christ said go. Peter said stay. It was in order that your sins might be forgiven. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, God says yes. Today, you can say yes as well. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was crowned with glory and honor in order that he might taste death for me. What an amazing transaction. In preparation for that priestly ministry of which I partake by faith in Christ. Shall we pray? Our loving God and Father, we offer you our thanks for the adequacy of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in awe of the glory that was displayed, the honor that was bestowed on our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Lamb of God, to bear away my sin. We give you thanks for that glorious sacrifice in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.